The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe, rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, the new propaganda has just dropped, and The Guardian is kind enough to condense it into this article, and it's, why are terms linked to anti-Semitism being used at UK conservatism event? So, the terms they're talking about, it's not just The Guardian pushing it, otherwise I wouldn't really think it'd be that interesting to talk about, because of course The Guardian is stupid, that's not news. But institutions like the Southern Poverty Law Centre, as we'll see later, and Wikipedia have really jumped on this, and this has been the case for some time. But I'm going to read from this article, and then I'm going to break down all of the different ways that it's moronic. And I'm not going to, you know, spend the few hours it would take to do it thoroughly, but I'm just going to go through very quickly and point to things we've already done and covered so that you can kind of verify my summary based on a more detailed look at things. But it says as follows. A conference run by a right-wing US think tank might be expected to feature a robust discourse on culture wars and identity, but the National Conservatism gathering has gone notably further, with speeches using terms linked to anti-Semitism and the far right. Ooh. The debate over cultural Marxists and globalists, as used by on-stage speakers, including a Conservative MP at the gathering in Westminster, is a microcosm of the wider jostling about the populist right and language. So these terms, globalist, cultural Marxist, anti-Semitic. I mean, what's revealed there is that The Guardian believes that the people behind these two terms, or the people who they're referring to, are secretly Jewish, which is kind of a very anti-Semitic thing on its own, isn't it? Because, of course, people are talking about ideas here. They're saying people with globalist ideas, people who are applying Marxism to culture. I mean, it is not about individuals or identity. It is just about their ideas, because these concepts, believe it or not, are about ideas. And I'm going to prove it to you. But first, I'm going to continue reading this just to get you into a sufficient rage, basically, to deal with this nonsense, because it is just naked propaganda. On the one side, self-styled free speech defenders, I love how condescending they make it, insist any worries are confected, an attempt to stifle debate and to unfairly link conservatives with an entirely separate extreme fringe. Well, they've at least got that right. That is true. I do agree with that. So, a bit rare for The Guardian to actually have a legitimate counterpoint in there. Normally, they just strawman the argument. But
There must be a loophole.
Maybe.
They cannot have said something interesting or good.
Broken clocks right twice a day. It says, but others, including many Jewish groups, funnily enough, in the article they don't mention them, worry deeply about what they see as the important importation of tropes linked with far-right conspiracy theories and thus, very often, anti-Semitism. So even their wording there isn't nearly as strong. They're saying, oh, well, sometimes it's linked with it, but it's not actually anti-Semitic, which is very different to what they were making out at the start. So they're being slimy. I mean, it's The Guardian. Of course they are. Whether done out of malice or carelessness, cultural Marxism, used as a term of abuse in a speech on Monday by the Conservative MP Miriam Cates, is the more straightforward of the two ideas to pin down. It has its origins in a conspiracy theory that Marxist scholars of the Frankfurt School in interwar Germany, many of whom were Jewish, devised a program of progressive politics intended to undermine Western democracies. Wrong. They intended to undermine capitalism, not democracies. The democracy aspect is completely irrelevant to what they're talking about. In fact, if you spoke to them, they would probably say, I'm in favor of democracy, whether that's genuine or not. That's
it would be
up
non-genuine,
to you.
But yeah. I think your point's correct.
Yeah. So immediately misunderstanding or misrepresenting. I'm not attributing incompetence where malice will suffice. But it says, at the centre of the idea, says Dr. Hugh Davies, a sociologist at Edinburgh University, is the belief that socialists aim to spread their credo by first taking over cultural and educational institutions, an idea often tied to an apparent invented quote from the Italian Marxist thinker Antonio Gramsci.
Okay, this is just pure gaslighting.
It is, yes.
I was in the universe in academia. Okay, I know.
Me too. Yeah.
And just one thing to say is that
I was there, man.
There was a debate you can see on YouTube between Roger Scruton and Terry Eagleton, and Terry Eagleton was saying, "Yeah, but the academia is right." And Scruton said, "Listen, I was in academia. I was the only person who belonged to the right wing."
You've got to be eating a massive packet of crayons to think that the university is a right wing.
Yeah.
How can anyone say that? They're just
shameless.
I mean, honestly. I remember
they lack shame.
I remember doing my master's degree, and I pointed out the fact that Greta Thunberg, who was a child at the time, was being used to manipulate people's sentiments. And maybe if you want to be taken seriously, you don't use a child to manipulate people's emotions. And they're like, well, she's a symbol of the resistance. I was like, you're an idiot. Do you not understand what I just said? I'm just saying, yeah, people can see that you're trying to control them and manipulate them. I didn't point out the fact that I don't agree with the aim either, but yeah. I was just like, your tactics are terrible. People can see through it. It's not good. And they're like, but she's a symbol. It's like everyone basically turned to me and was annoyed at me. And I was just like,
they're treating her like the supreme being.
What? Like Robespierre. But some on the right, Davies said, think they've got political power, but they don't think they have cultural power. Are you mental? Yeah, the right have political power. I mean, our Conservative Party in the UK is basically a socialist party. I mean, they preserved the NHS. They've increased its budget.
They've increased
immigration. You are a moron. So they are looking for an explanation for why that happened. Well, there is little debate that the idea of cultural Marxism has... What do you mean there's little debate, you morons? Has anti-Semitic overtones and is closely linked to the far right. It is not uncommon for British politicians to use it.
Sorry. Wait, the idea of cultural Marxism, why is it anti-Semitic?
It's because The Guardian assumes that if you're criticising Jewish people's ideas, as they've framed it, by the way, obviously cultural Marxism is much broader than a specific group of people.
Pardon me, but Marxism is supposed to be an internationalist doctrine.
Exactly.
So, I mean, even if you criticise cultural Marxism, I criticise it on the grounds on many grounds, but
I criticize it on the grounds that it's moronic. Yeah,
it's an internationalist doctrine. How can it be a criticism? How can it counter criticism against a particular nation?
Yeah, or a particular people. It's obvious that they're deliberately misrepresenting the situation because they feel like they're on the back foot. People have identified what's being pushed, how they've infiltrated institutions, left-wingers, Marxists.
And I don't think that the Soviet Union was particularly friendly to Jewish people.
Certainly not under Stalin, no. Yeah. So it carries on to say, Suella Braverman, the Home Secretary, who also spoke at the National Conservative event on Monday, was criticised by Jewish groups for doing so in 2019. The following year, 26 Tory MPs wrote a joint letter to the Daily Telegraph, accusing the National Trust of being beset by cultural Marxist dogma. So it's not the far right using it if it's 26 Tory MPs, because chances are if they're Tory MPs, they're going to be the soft and flabby centre if they're the furthest right. You know, they're not going to be... I mean, a decent number of them are left-wingers just in the Conservative Party.
And that's a bit funny because in the very first paragraph of the article, the author is drawing a distinction between right and far right. But this doesn't materialize later on.
Well, yeah, because it's ideologically driven writing, isn't it? Yeah. Davies said, they think it sort of gives them a sort of intellectual veneer of credibility. I don't want to say sort of any more times. As if it's established theory in academia or something. This is clearly the voice of an intelligent man. But it's only because they've been listening to right-wing academics who believe it's a valid theory. They think it's an established theory in academia, but they've been listening to right-wing academics. So it's a theory in academia. In the same sentence, you just disproved what you said. And then he goes on to say, it should horrify them that in the manifestos of racist mass murderers like Anders Breivik, it is often accompanied by the language of disgust and disease. Metaphors like it has infected our schools and universities. It implies that these institutions need to be restored to purity, need to be cleansed. That's just smearing them by a very tenuous association there. Yeah. Very slimy. You're obviously ideologically possessed. Not all agree, however. Yoram Hazony, an Israeli-US writer whose think tank runs the conference, so it's run by a think tank with a Jewish person in it. So I don't know. I don't think they're necessarily going to be anti-Semitic unless he's particularly self-hating, and I don't think he probably is. Condemned what he called this attempt to smear a friend of the Jews, such as Miriam Cates, with the utterly preposterous accusation of anti-Semitism. He argued the term cultural Marxism is an apt phrase to describe the cultural agenda promoted by many on the left today. The Edmund Burke Foundation offers no platform to anti-Semites. We are proud to number Miriam Cates among our speakers and friends. So, now I'm done reading from this, quite frankly, moronic propagandist piece. I wanted to look at the academic that they cited here, this so-called expert. So this is Dr. Hugh Davies' page on the University of Edinburgh website, and it says, Hugh's research places sociology of race, gender, and class at the centre of the study of digital technology. So So he's an intersectionalist and a cultural Marxist. He's a sociologist, and in sociology, they teach Marxist perspectives on society. And do you know what's part of society? Culture, believe it or not. So yeah, he is a cultural Marxist. And he's taking great offense and smearing them for using a label that could describe his views, because of course he's an intersectionalist, race, gender, class. I mean, that's...
That's shameless.
It is. Obviously, The Guardian should be even more ashamed of itself than normal for choosing someone who's basically very much on their side as a partisan expert. I mean, he did a PhD. That doesn't make you an expert, really. I mean, it's just credentialism at the end of the day. But I wanted to examine these ideas and talk about cultural Marxism in particular, because I think globalization, even the World Economic Forum uses globalism, globalization. The Guardian itself uses those terms. So that part of it is so easy to disprove that it's not even worth going into. However, the cultural Marxism thing, I think having a little bit of a deep dive of the ideas is important. So first of all, let's go to Marx himself, the progenitor of Marxist ideas. And I think that's a little bit of a controversial statement, because I think Engels actually did a lot of the hard work and Marx was just a layabout and a parasite on Engels. So some of the blame is on Engels as well. I think we don't blame Engels enough, but Marx is the face of it, even though he was probably less industrious than Engels. And here are some
direct... I think his mother said, I wish Karl created capital more than he wrote about it.
That's a great quote. But I'm going to read directly from Marx's writing. And how it relates to culture. He says, the ideas of the ruling classes are in every epoch the ruling ideas, i.e. the class, which is the ruling material force of society, is at the same time its ruling intellectual force. So implicit in this is from the German ideology, by the way, implicit in this is the notion that if you are to overthrow the ruling elite, which is explicit in all of Marx's writings, anti-capitalist, that sort of thing. They talk about the bourgeois, the capitalists, how you're to overthrow them. They say the dominant ideas come from these people and therefore these ideas need to be challenged. And what are these ideas other than culture?
Of course. And it's fun to see that the previous article you read said at some point that it's a conspiracy by right-wing academics who, by now they're extinct, I think,
Yeah, they're endangered species at the very least.
Yeah. It's a conspiracy by right-wing academics to talk about cultural Marxism. That
it is madness. And here we have a quote from the 18th of Brumaire on Louis Bonaparte. The tradition of all dead generations weighs like a nightmare on the brains of the living. If that's not talking about culture, I don't know what is. Again, from the German ideology, the production of ideas, of conceptions, of consciousness is at first directly interwoven with the material activity and the material intercourse of men, the language of real life. So here he's saying that culture is inextricably linked with the economy, and because Marx was focused on overthrowing the economic order as well as the cultural order, because he saw them as intertwined, he saw them as two inseparable things, which I actually think is true. Your culture and your economy are interrelated to one another.
Yeah. Did he see them as intertwined, or did he say that it's the substructure and the hyperstructure, and if you change the substructure, the hyperstructure will change?
That's too much jargon for me. Okay. But I'll presume that that is correct, because Marx wrote in a very jargony way.
But honestly, what pisses me off about the thing is that, of course, the left has stopped representing workers and has gone to the universities.
Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the working classes anymore. They get a trade, and they're probably out earning the middle classes these days, because building is far more lucrative than anything you can get with a degree. I can certainly attest to that. And the final one from the Communist Manifesto: the bourgeois has stripped of its halo every occupation hitherto honoured and looked up to with reverent awe. It has converted the physician, the lawyer, the priest, the poet, and the man of science into its paid wage labourers. So it's talking about the bourgeois as a class, as a culture, doing things that are bad in his perspective. And he's directly framing it about culture. So yes, even Marx was concerned about culture. But let's move on to the Frankfurt School, because they were interested in carrying on Marx's ideas, and they certainly mentioned in this Guardian article. And here we have a list of the Frankfurt School members. So you've got Herbert Marcuse, Jürgen Habermas, Jörg Lucas, Theodor Adorno, Walter Benjamin, Max Horkheimer, Erich Fromm. All of these people, you know, may be familiar names to you, Franz Oppenheimer. You've got all of these people. These are part of the Frankfurt School. These are academics, individuals whose ideas can be criticized. Many of them were Jewish, but that's irrelevant to the validity of their ideas, because I am a normal person who, you know, views ideas based on their merits, like 99% of people.
And again, I mean, to repeat it, Marxism is an internationalist doctrine.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk about the Frankfurt School, but to avoid being arrested for a hate crime and accused of being an anti-Semite or being sued into oblivion, I've had to defer some of this to ChatGPT to define, because then it allows me to make the most of a legal loophole so I don't get in trouble. So I'm sorry I have to do this, but blame the law, not me. I don't want to. But ChatGPT has received a woke lobotomy, but it actually provided a very accurate representation of what the Frankfurt School set out to do and what it believed and that sort of thing. And I think that a lot can be learnt from this. So it says, the Frankfurt School, also known as the Institute for Social Research, was a group of interdisciplinary scholars associated with the University of Frankfurt in Germany. It was founded in the late 1920s, became particularly influential during the 1930s and beyond. The purpose and aims of the Frankfurt School can be summarized as follows. Critical theory. The Frankfurt School's primary purpose was to develop critical theory and challenge the prevailing social, cultural, and economic conditions of capitalist societies. The scholars associated with the Frankfurt School sought to understand and analyze the complex relationship between culture, society, and power. And if you don't want to take AI's word for it, you can take Carl and Thomas's word for it, because they've broken down what critical theory is, because Thomas has studied the Frankfurt School's ideas in great detail, and we talk about them ad nauseum a lot of the time, but he knows his stuff. So if you want to learn a lot more about critical theory and in greater detail, nearly 2 hours by the looks of it. Oh, no, it's not. It's an hour.
An hour.
I can't read, apparently. So, yes, check that out. And they go on to say Marxist analysis. I mean, yes, they were Marxists. So they're looking at culture and they're Marxists. Does that mean they're cultural Marxists? I think so. But it says, the Frankfurt School drew heavily from Marxist theory, but sought to update and adapt it to the conditions of the 20th century, definitely. While they shared Marx's critique of capitalism, they also recognised the limitations of traditional Marxist analysis and sought to explore other factors such as culture, ideology, and the role of mass media that contribute to the reproduction of social inequalities. I couldn't have put that better myself. Yeah. I mean, it's spot on. Cultural critique. There's an entire section here. One of the central aims of the Frankfurt School was to critically examine the role of culture and mass media in shaping societies. They analysed how cultural forms such as art, literature, film, and popular culture are intertwined with social and economic power relations. They were interested in understanding how these cultural forms influence and shape individuals' consciousness and the reproduction of dominant ideologies. I mean, that's just explicit. They were looking at culture, you morons. They also list the title emancipatory social change. For some reason, that's a tongue twister for me. But I'm not going to read that because I'm not going to belabor the point. You get it by this point, right? But yes, it also ends with the Frankfurt School's ideas and theories have had a significant influence on critical theory, cultural studies, and social thought, shaping discussions on power, ideology, culture, and social changes. So yes, this academic is a dishonest hack. And this is obviously true. I mean, you can just go out and read their writings. They literally say it themselves.
They focus on culture.
This is lies.
Not on economics like Marx would, for instance.
It's also worth mentioning that Theodore Adorno developed the authoritarian personality type, which tried to pathologize the right wing as inherently authoritarian and as some sort of personality dysfunction. And this is something that defined political psychology and the paradigms therein for quite some time afterwards. And it's only recently that people have been like, hang on a minute, obviously there are left-wing authoritarians as well. It's not exclusive to the right wing. There's not inherent authoritarianism in the right wing either. So this was just, it was a rhetorically driven concept that's infiltrated academia.
I must say that they have infiltrated academia to such an extent that it is very difficult to that we need to understand what happened and how they operate and how they twist language because we see progressively the hate speech laws are being pushed forward, and there is a correlation there.
Relation. What they're trying to do is poison all of the language used by the right against us, making it have implications that it doesn't actually have, because through controlling language, you can control people.
And one thing that I want to say is that what they're presenting is that they are trying to contaminate language and present autonomy, which is irreducibly personal and individual, as a collective thing to be achieved. Mm-hmm. So they want to portray autonomy as something that can be outsourced to the collective or the state. So they say in order for people to be free and be emancipated, we need a progressively more powerful state that is going to give them the conditions of self-respect, material conditions, whatever. And the question is, how does the state give you the conditions of self-respect? You need to be in a social context with relations where people talk to you in a particular way and relate with you in another way. That is why we constantly see human relations as being constantly, progressively more problematized.
Mm-hmm. It's also worth mentioning as well, the book Repressive Tolerance, or it's an essay really, from Marchesa, which we've covered, again, Thomas and Carl, Thomas being the expert on these sorts of things. And that would be worth checking out as well, because in the essay, Marchesa critiques what he sees as the false notion of tolerance within liberal democratic societies. And he argues that the prevailing form of tolerance actually serves to maintain and reinforce oppressive power structures. And he's the sort of academic source, I suppose, of the popular view that one must be intolerant of perceived intolerance. But perceived intolerance often just means anyone to the right of you.
That reminds me of CRT and Kendi, where it says it's not enough to be non-tolerant, you have to be anti-tolerant.
I'm going to be getting onto the intersectionals soon because They are the sort of inheritors of the Frankfurt School tradition and the paradigm that we unfortunately have to wade through to get some sort of political discourse. So it's basically a justification for the left not engaging in good faith debate with the right. It has its origin here, which we see in manifestation everywhere. All left-wing politics refuses to engage with the right. They strawman the right. They call them racist, sexist, homophobic, blah, 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 blah. And it's all based about around propaganda. There's no attempt to gain value out of the person you're talking to.
Yeah.
And it's effective, unfortunately. So moving on to intersectionality, which inherited the mantle that was passed by the Frankfurt School onto them. And this is a sort of movement from the 1990s, I suppose. I think it started in 89, roughly. That's the general agreed beginning. And they modified the Frankfurt School's ideas in the same way that the Frankfurt School modified Marxist ideas. So you have things like critical race theory, which of course is based on critical theory, which was the creation of the Frankfurt School.
And so it focuses on race as the group that is to be emancipated.
Exactly. So yes, you can't have critical race theory without critical theory, which critical theory you can't have without Marxism. And critical theory is applied to culture. So it is cultural Marxism. I mean, I'm basically beating a dead horse at this point. But it's not just The Guardian, as I alluded to earlier. You also have Wikipedia saying cultural Marxism conspiracy theories. It's not a conspiracy theory. They said it in their own words. They wrote books about it. They said it. They communicated it. They said it in lectures. They said it in books. They said it to each other. They said it on TV. Don't gaslight us. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not anti-Semitic. It's just describing what they themselves believed. So here we have the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a hostile institution to the West and anyone that has a functioning brain. Cultural Marxism, a conspiracy theory with an anti-Semitic twist, is being pushed by much of the American right. Nonsense. People have read what you're up to. We figured out your tactics, your methods, and you're trying to smear us, trying to destroy us because we've exposed you for the dishonest, bad faith people that you are. And I'm not going to fall for it, not going to allow you to get away with this. I think we need to be very forceful about this because if we allow the language to be changed, then the left wins. It's simple as that. We often talk about wars in politics and in culture. Well, language is just as important and we can't let them win. I hope you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters. And if you want to support the work we're doing, you can sign up to the website and watch videos like this. This is Symposium number 18, Debating Classical Liberalism, where Stelios debates in favour and Karl debates against. And if you want to find out what Stelios is doing, you can check out his Twitter here. Thank you very much for watching.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.